heaven is looking sweeter all the time, isn't it? Once you understand all those truths about eternity, what a blessing. Joshua chapter 23 tonight, Joshua chapter 23, as we're coming to the end of our series here in the life of Joshua, and we've been studying for some time. We studied the man Joshua even before we got into the book of Joshua, and now we've been in the book of Joshua for some time. We're just getting ready to kill him off. You know, that's just the ways of the world, right? And that's what he says here tonight, is that's going to take place. That's going to take place. You live and you die, and then you live eternally. And what a blessing. But last week we looked at the conflict and division over misunderstanding between the 2.5 tribes that went back after Joshua challenged them and counseled them, and they built an altar, and they did it for unity, but the other tribes thought that they did it for a different reason, and so there was almost civil war. They was actually ready to go to war and to kill one another. And we looked at that, and the idea of conflict and division over misunderstandings and over things that really don't matter. You know, there's so many problems that people have with others that really don't matter, you know, just because they have a different opinion or a different thought on this or that. You have to stop and just kind of examine, does it really matter that I don't agree with them on that issue? When it comes to doctrine, we need to make sure that we are in agreement, but when it comes to preferences and all the other types of things, and we looked at that last week, and sometimes you just got to laugh at some things that people believe. And you don't really know why and how they could believe certain things. But if it doesn't matter, if it's not going to change somebody's destiny or going to heaven or hell or their walk with God, then just got to let certain things just put a smile on your face and move on. But that's what happened here. And then they finally realized why that they did it. And Joshua, no doubt, under his counsel, led to unity once again of the nation of Israel. Well, tonight we're looking at chapter 23, and let's read verses 1 down to 11, okay? As you'll stand with me tonight, we'll read this together. The Bible says, "And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. Joshua called for all Israel and for their elders and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. And ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain, to be an inheritance of your tribes, from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them from out of your sight, and ye shall possess their land, as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Be therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. But cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong, and but as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God." And let's pray. Father, we bow before you, and again, we thank you for the opportunity to be in services once again on this midweek. And I pray that we would be able to put everything else out of our minds and focus on our presence here and your presence here, and that we might be able to receive that spiritual help that you have for us. I pray that you'd empower the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So Joshua, knowing that he's getting ready to die, he again tells them in verse 1 that he was waxed old and stricken in age. Matter of fact, if you look down at verse 14, he says this, "And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing that faileth of the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you, all are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thee." But he says, I'm going in the way of all the earth. That means that he has lived his life. He's getting ready to die. And then it starts addressing them again. But Joshua knows he is right at the edge, right the last few days of his life on earth. And Joshua brings all the heads of the nation together, and he's going to give them some counsel to try to help them to avoid apostasy. He has a concern after he dies that Israel will not continue to worship and to serve their God. Now, no doubt God might have given Joshua some insight into what would take place, because now we look back in history and he was right in having concern for apostasy, because it was not much time after this that they started turning away from their God and started worshiping other gods and taking on other forms of belief and ways of living life and all the different things. They allowed the inhabitants of the land of Canaan, those that still remained there, to have more of an impact on Israel than what Israel would have on them. So apostasy was no doubt in the future from Joshua, and they would be taken into captivity. They would be judged by God. But they'd have to get to the place where they are now, because right here, and Joshua's addressing them, they have a love for God. They're doing all the right things. But again, we find that Joshua is very concerned about this apostasy, and he offers them counsel. That's something that every Christian ought to be aware of, is once your life on this earth is over, will it make a difference to those in whom you tried to influence? Will your children continue to want to live the way you raised them to live? Will they raise your grandchildren the way that you have raised them? Will you hold on to the legacy of Christianity in second, third, fourth, fifth generations, all the way till the return of Christ, the rapture of the church? Come to the end of our lives, did I make a difference? Was I able to pass on my beliefs? Was I able to pass on the truths that I know are from God? I sense that's what Joshua's here in chapter 23, and he understands this. He knows that his time is just about over. And he does what he could possibly do, as he's in his mind thinking, what I can do before I die once again to be able to give them the counsel that they need to avoid apostasy. And it was. If they would have applied the counsel that Joshua gave them, they would not have fallen into apostasy. You can only do so much. I often say you're not going to give an account for how your children turn out. You give account for how you raise them. You can only do so much. You can only give the counsel, and you can live the life in front of them, and you can do all that you can do, but eventually they're going to have to make their own decisions and how they're going to live life. So verse 3 to verse 11, it actually fits in with some of the same counsel he gave to the 2.5 tribes of Israel as they would return to their homeland. If you remember, we studied a little bit of that in chapter 22 and verse 5. As they were going back, this was the counsel that he gave to them in this one verse. He says, but take diligent heed to do the commandments and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and to cleave unto him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. That verse right there, a powerful verse in the scriptures concerning Joshua's counsel to the 2.5 tribes that had spent 7 years in helping the others to possess the land that God had given them. And for 7 years, they had been away from their land and been away from their families. Now they're going back. It's going to be a different lifestyle for them. They're going to have to face a lot of different things. And so as they was going back, he said, this is what you need to go back with. This is a counsel that God has for you, and you need to do these things so when you get back, you'll be able to impact your families and the land that God has given to you. So with that, then we look here in chapter 23, and again, we find before he dies, before he's taken off the scene, he gives this counsel to the ones, a leadership, and trust that the leadership would then be able to pass down this counsel to all that they had underneath them, so the whole nation of Israel would receive the counsel that God, that Joshua would give them. The first thing that he says in this counsel to avoid apostasy is in verse 3 when he says, and ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations. You've seen this. Be mindful of this because of you. The Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Think back and you realize what God has done for you. He's fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you the nations. You have a part, you have your land because God has given it to you. Verse 5, and the Lord your God shall expel from them before you and drive them out of your sight that ye shall possess their land. It's no longer their land, God's given you the land. He has helped you, he has fought for you, he has planted you in that land that your God has given to you. Now look down to verse 9. And it says, for the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations. There have been a lot of other people, a lot of other nations tried to get the victory in Jericho. They had tried. History shows that they had tried. They could not penetrate the walls. But God knocked them down for you. Wow. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. With God on your side, you have been able to experience victory after victory after victory. One man of you shall chase 1,000 with God on your side. Wow. If you just stop and think about that. With Gideon. Look how many Gideon and his 300 was able to defeat because they had the power of God behind them. Amen. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you as he hath promised you. So the first counsel was see and remember and acknowledge by giving God thanks. Acknowledge God and give thanks for what God has, is, and will do for you. Well, that's great counsel for us today. Because can I tell you that we're living in the last days and there's going to be great apostasy in the last days. And we're seeing it take place right before our eyes. There's been some that you think would never turn away from God. Never get out of church. Never stop serving. And then they do. The churches stop preaching the word. Turn into social clubs or entertainment centers. Never thought that that would happen. But it has. And we've been warned against apostasy in the latter days. At some point, those that have fallen into apostasy failed to acknowledge what God had done for them, what God would continue to do, and what God would do in the future. Same as in a marital relationship. How does a strong marital relationship deteriorate? How could somebody that was so committed to their spouse, it seems like all of a sudden, just run away with another person? Be unfaithful? Want a divorce? Want a change? And you're seeing a lot of that taking place in society today as well. It's because they've lost sight of who their spouse is. They lost sight of that desire, that love. You don't lose love, you walk away from it. When you stop exalting your spouse in your heart, you're vulnerable to losing that relationship, from turning away from that relationship, from seeking another. When it becomes negative thoughts instead of the positive thoughts you had when you stood before family and God, and you stood across from that person that you were going to commit your life to, and you say, oh, I do, and oh, yes, I will. And you had the right thinking then. You had, this is somebody that I'm going to live with for the rest of my life. This person completes me. This person makes me whole. This is somebody that I'm going to establish a home with and live together. And you have all the right thinking toward that individual. But somewhere down the line, you lose sight of those thoughts. And you lose sight of what this relationship can continue to be. And you lose sight of what this relationship might even be later on in life, when we have an empty nest, when we have grandchildren to enjoy and send them home with parents. But you lose sight of all those things. And you forget. And we're not exalting and giving thanks for what you have. The old devil's more apt to put the wrong thoughts in your mind, the wrong desires in your heart. And you're a candidate for apostasy. When that becomes God, and you fail to remember what he's done, what he's doing, and what he will do, you're a candidate for apostasy. So we find here that Joshua is saying, nation of Israel, make sure that you don't forget. Your eyes have seen. You've seen what God has already done for you. You see what he's doing for you today and what he will do you from this day forward. But you have to keep that in your mind. And the way you keep that in your mind is to be exalt God and to be thankful for his presence in your life. It's one of the things I try to do every day, is to thank God. I pray, I thank God for my salvation. I thank God for the blessings. I thank God for on and on and on. Thank God for who he is. I try to remind myself who God is. You're God, the great I am, creator of all things, but you're my heavenly Father. You're God, the Son, my Savior, my Lord, Jesus. You're God, the Holy Spirit, my comforter, he that dwelleth within me. I want to be mindful of that every day. And so I have to keep that on my mind. if I don't keep those things on my mind, I will lose sight of those things. And it's those things, it's that kind of thinking that will help me keep me from apostasy. Same thing with your marriage. You better keep pleasant things on your mind concerning your spouse, or you're going to be tempted and you're a candidate for apostasy in your own marriage. Yeah. So find here, this is Joshua saying, before I leave, let me just set you down. Let me just help you to know what you need to do in order not to give in to apostasy, but you'll continue to serve our God. Give thanks and acknowledge him for what he's done, what he's doing, and what he will do. The second thing is found in verse 6 here. Commit yourself to obedience. Just don't pick and choose what you want to do and be obedient to what you want to be obedient to. anybody have children like that? As long as you tell them what they want to do, they're fine with that. When you tell them to do something they don't want to do, that's when you have troubles. Yeah. Joshua chapter 23, verse 6 says, be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do, all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left hand. Just continue to do what you know that God would have you to do, the things that you've been doing up to this place that's got you where you're at today. They're conquerors in the land of Canaan. They're victorious in the land of Canaan. Commit yourself to obedience. Stop looking around to see what anybody else is doing. Don't base your obedience on the obedience of another. Whether that be a spouse, or that be a parent, or that be a church. We need to commit ourselves to obedience, knowing what we know God would have us to do, and just commit to it. Don't look to turn right or left. Don't look to be influenced to get off the pavement that God has placed you on. Dave Hardy says there's a ditch on both sides of the road. Don't look to get into that ditch. Stay on the road. Stay on the pavement. Stay committed to obeying everything that God would have you to obey. Don't turn to the right or don't turn to the left. Commit yourself. I have decided. You have. What do you? To follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Even if the person on the right side of you turns away, no turning back. Even the person on the left side of you don't turn. I've decided, based on my own thinking, my own free will. You want to keep yourself from apostasy? Stay committed to to obedience. You decide it. When you stop any area of obedience, you'll be in danger of apostasy. It starts small. From what you committed at some point to God that you were going to do with reading your Bible, and you decide not to do it. When you decided in your heart that when the church doors are open, I'm going to be in church. Until you decided, well, maybe we don't need Wednesday night as much as we thought we did. You're on your way to apostasy. I have fun with. I always say, I can see it happening. People, when they first come, they want to set up close. And then if they are not, when they start thinking second, they usually go to the back of the pews. From the back of the pews to the balconies, and then from the balconies to the outside of the doors. A progression of of decline, if you will. Now, that's not always the case. I understand that, but I have seen it quite often, you know. You're sitting up front, you say, there's no distractions up front. That's why we got our young people up front. The farther you get away, the more distractions you have to look at, that fly on top of that person's head or that person that needs to comb their hair or whatever's going on. And you see it all in front of you, and that those distractions keep you from receiving everything that you came to church to receive. And there's nothing wrong, but when you have committed and you say, Lord, I'm going to sit up front because I don't want to be distracted. Commit to it. Stick to what you've committed to. Unless God tells you, you don't have to anymore, and he's not going to do that. Unless you got a problem with the hearing aids or whatever. But stay committed to what you've committed. As in serving the Lord. Whether you used to serve the bus ministry, maybe you look back. Did you commit to the bus ministry? And why aren't you in it? Why aren't you involved in it now? You committed to serving God in this way or doing this or doing that. It's between you and God. It's almost, you've made a vow. You've committed to doing it. And why aren't you doing that today? When you stop in any area of obedience that you've committed yourself to, you'll be in danger of apostasy. Look at verse, the next one. Exalt God through thanksgiving. Commit yourself to obedience. Verse 7 and 8. That you come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them. You have a temptation to serve the other gods of the land, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as you have done unto this day. Now that's exactly what they would end up doing, is what he counseled them not to do. What he was counseling them to do was to remain loyal to their God. Cleave unto their God. It means, that word cleave, we find it in marriage. God's counsel to a husband and wife to cleave one to another. Get as close as you can by learning one another, understanding one another. Get as close as you can. Tie a knot. Hold on. Cleave. Don't allow there to be separation, but cleave. Cleave unto the Lord. He says, do not make mention their gods. Don't start asking yourself, well, if I serve their gods, what would I be able to get by with? How would I be able to live life in serving their gods? If I wasn't in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, then what would that open up to me in my life? If I could go to a church and they tell me, the church tells me it's all right to only come once a week. You don't have to come, you don't have to honor the Lord all day on Sunday. You don't have to come back Wednesday night. You can have a relationship with God and only be in church one day a week. So you just have to think about God one day a week. Or whatever we do, there's no separations, there's no standards. I don't have any conviction. I don't have to worry about having conviction. And when I go to church, I go to a place where I call a worship place, but they're not worshiping the God that, of the Bible. They're worshiping their own God, their own humanity, their own religion. And I can, if I go there, I won't have conviction and I can be entertained and all and on and on and on and on. If I could only even go there and have a peace of mind. Is that really what you want? Is that why you're thinking of other gods or other beliefs? Well, if I was this belief, then wow, I can do whatever I want. Just show up occasionally at church and I can still go to heaven and be right with God. That doesn't mean that you'll be right with God. What happened to Israel is exactly what Joshua warned them about. They started listening to other gods, which there are no other gods. There's only the devil. That pulled them away from living as God had been for them to live and to do whatever they wanted to do. It's, again, like in marriage. Spiritual adultery is thinking about being with another. Adultery in marriage is being with someone other than your spouse. That's adultery. Spiritual adultery is being spiritually with someone other than God and listening to their gods instead of listening to your God. James chapter 4. James brings it out here. James chapter 4. He addresses them as he is addressing those that were not getting their prayers answered. They had the wrong thinking, the wrong lust. For whence come the wars and fightings among you? Come they hence even of your lust, and you, that war in your members, you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, you fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not, you're not asking the right way, you're having all these different things going on inside of you concerning God, concerning your prayer, you're not receiving anything. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. And then he says this, ye adulterers and adulteresses. You're wanting God to approve of something that God will not approve of because you're wanting to live and do things that are not in your best interest, and God knows best. God's commandments, God's standards, God's convictions are there for our own good, to keep us from apostasy. When you turn away from those and you start turning to these other things, the Bible says, you adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You have turned in God for the world. You've turned in the Bible for man's religion. You've turned in the commandments of God for the commandments of men. And you're a spiritual adulterer or a spiritual adulteress. Just as if in marriage, and when you're to cleave to that spouse, and you stop cleaving to the spouse and you turn away to someone else, that's exactly what Joshua was warning Israel not to do. You're married to God, act as if you are married to God and look to Him and Him alone. Sunday mornings, we're starting a series. I just mentioned it last Sunday, the second on the home. We dealt with Eve. Man needs an Eve. Last Sunday, we dealt with marriage. We're going to deal with the home, the atmosphere. Two becoming one, living as two becoming one this coming Sunday morning. And Sunday night, we're going to be looking at how children change things. It's all part of the home. It's God's plan. We need to keep ourselves from spiritual adultery. So stay focused on God. Remain loyal. Cleave unto the Lord. We are to remain loyal from the inside out. From the inside out. No one has ever been committed adultery and having the right thoughts and the right feelings for your spouse. You change from the inside out. Adultery is from the inside out. Spiritual adultery is from the inside out. You still might come to the church and you might dress the same way, look the same way, even talk the same way, but only you know if it's really what's inside. Or am I just going through the motions? You're a candidate for apostasy if it's not on the inside. And only you can control what's going on inside of you, and only I can control what's going on inside of me. But if I don't want that spiritual adultery, if I don't want to fall into apostasy, I've got to make sure that I keep the inside. I need to keep my loyalty to my God. I need to cleave unto Him. I tell married people as I counsel with them, preparing them to make that commitment in marriage. Once you get married, you're to separate yourself from anyone or anything that would hinder your relationship with each other. Anyone, anything, because your marital relationship outside of relationship with God, that's a primary relationship. Do not allow a lifelong friend come between you and your spouse. Do not allow your in-laws to come between you and your spouse. You need to separate yourself from anything and everything that will hinder your relationship with your spouse. And only you know who would. Can I tell you, in spiritual adultery, separate yourself from anyone or anything that would hinder your relationship with God. A person's living like the devil and trying to make you think that they're having a good time and having fun and trying to tempt you into living their lifestyle with them, you better separate yourself from that individual, because that is leading to spiritual adultery, which is apostasy to God. Lastly here, this is great counsel. Counsel to Joshua, to the nation of Israel, how to prevent spiritual adultery, or how to prevent this apostasy, spiritual apostasy. The last thing in verse 11. Let me get back there myself. Chapter 23 and verse 11. Take good heed. When you see that, you're warned. You're being warned. Whenever you see that in the Word of God, take heed, you're being warned of something that is a reality. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves. Unto yourselves. Wow. One that you can control is you. That's the only one that you can have full control of, is you. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. Be warned. Do not stop loving God. I don't always feel love. But love is not based on feelings. When something happens that I didn't want to have happened, someone you love is hurt, someone you love has to go through trials, and you look up, I don't feel love toward God for Him allowing that to happen. I don't feel love. That doesn't mean that I don't love. Ask yourself this. I know I love God because. Fill in the blank. I trust there's many blanks. I know I love God because I keep going back to God. I keep crying out to God, even when I don't feel love for God. I keep crying out for Him because I know He is God. And it's not that I don't love Him, I don't feel it because I don't love what's going on. I don't love what's happened. But I keep going to Him. It's evident to me that I do love God. If I didn't love God, I'd walk away from God. If I didn't love God, I would reject God. If I didn't love God, I wouldn't look to Him. But I do look to Him because I do look to Him. I know I have a love for God, even though I don't always feel a love for God. Is there a time when you don't feel love for your spouse? Be honest. You know. This is you talking to you, all right? Is there ever a time? Be honest, you'll say, yeah, because I don't like what they just did. I don't like what they just said. Good thing that you don't base love on feelings. But ask yourself this question. I know I love my spouse because. Yeah. Keep going back. I want the best for them. I want to meet a need. I want to take care. I don't want to be without them. Not based on feelings. Based on facts. Based on reality. Jude. We're going to close with this. Jude. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. How do I keep myself in the love of God? How do I know that I have this love for God? Because I'm building up myself in my most holy faith and I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. Wow. That's exactly what he's saying right here. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, because that's how you're going to keep feeling the love for God. That's how you're going to keep loving God. Keep yourselves. Only you can love God. Only you can keep yourself loving God. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Jesus said, if you love me, do what I command you to do. As I find myself doing what God has commanded me to do, according to God, that's a sign of love. Even though at times you might not feel it, you continue to do it, it's a sign of genuine love. Yeah. Don't stop loving God. If I could have ever head bowed tonight. Apostasy, it's something any one of us could fall into. That's why we're warned. It's something that Joshua had insight concerning the nation of Israel and what they would do, and he was doing everything before he left this earth to help prevent them from apostasy. He was doing everything in his power to help those that he loved the most, to keep them from doing something that was going to hinder them. Hurt them, devastate their life, and family and being taken into captivity. Wow. Let's take heed. And let's apply this counsel. Father, we bow before you tonight. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for loving us and for the opportunity to be in church and for the message from Joshua and the council. Help us to apply it to our own lives. Bless now this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.